Hello and welcome to session number 10. Well, we've been journeying together. We're just in the Word of God, and I trust as we've been speaking that you're just more and more into the love of God and into the heart of God as our perfect Father. Even as we've done some sessions, we spoke about, you know, looking at our past and healing and forgiveness. Remember, it's only in the light of what Christ has come to do. And so God will never ask us to do something that he has not made provision for. And that's where his grace comes in. That's where he is truly sufficient, and he is our all-sufficient one. And so the challenge, just especially when we just see this as a knowledge experience and not open up our hearts, knowledge can puff up. You know, it's important that we open up our hearts. And when we become real, vulnerable, show our weaknesses even to other people, then we don't numb out the pain. Because a lot of people in the world, that's what people do that do not know the Lord, is they just numb out the pain. They just ignore it, or they fill it with other stuff. And we want to be filled with God. You know, all people pretend. They pretend that everything is fine. We build up these superficial walls around us, and we never allow God to come close to us. But in this time, let's allow God to be our Father, the one who gives us security, provision, direction, life in abundance. The thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy, but God has come to give life and life in abundance. So in this session, we're going to talk about the power, the gift of sonship, our identity, authority, and destiny. Who do we worship? How do we become obedient as sons of God and daughters of God, and then our true identity? And this is actually great fun to discover who we are in Christ. You know, the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters, if you just take that little phrase, to be in Christ, means that I have a new righteousness. I am a new creation. 2 Corinthians says that I'm a new creation in God. So what does it mean to have your true identity in Christ? Matthew 4 verse 3. And we must know as Christians, this will be a challenge. The tempter came to Jesus and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." The question is, who am I? And I think if a lot of people know who they are, then they will do much less out there trying to perform, trying to prove themselves, trying to be somebody so that the world can accept them. But if you know, like, remember what we said, Jesus got baptized and then the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." You know, Jesus didn't do any ministry. He didn't raise the dead. He didn't even go to the cross. He was just an ordinary carpenter. For 30 years, he waited in obedience. He read the scripture, and then God released him into that new season. Because God loves us, not because we do things for him. His love isn't greater if you pray more. He doesn't love you more if you go to church more. He doesn't love you more if you fast more. It's simply, hey, you're already a son because of God's choice. So that is the question. Who am I versus what do I do? What's my calling? What flows out of my sonship? And so you can go and read Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 19. We've already spoken about that. But there's a powerful scripture that I want to focus on in 1 John 3, verse 1. Just one verse. It says here, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God." It's a manner of love. It's a gift. So sonship, daughtership is simply, it's a gift from God. It's something God gives us. And that's what happened through Jesus. And he said he became our righteousness. He gave us a righteousness. What is righteousness? To have a right standing before God, a right relationship with God. Listen to this in John 1 verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." He gave them the power to become the sons of God. We need power. We need ability. Because remember, the devil is going to challenge that sonship. He's going to say, like, "Well, if you're really a son, you know, why don't you do it like this? If you're really, you know, trying to keep us out of the will of God." Because there are amazing people that love God. They're going to heaven, but they're never walking in their destiny and their God-given authority. So identity is received. There's a question I'm asking there. It says, "I obey, therefore I'm accepted, or am I accepted and therefore I obey?" It's a big difference. First be and then do, not do to be. I don't do stuff to be a son. I am a son of God. I am a child of God. So if you have that mindset, then suddenly you realize like success or failure does not determine your identity. You know, if you make a mistake, repent. If it's sin, repent, turn back to God, and there's grace. God doesn't hold it against us. But if it's all about your own striving and your own effort, then it's very, very tough. You know, so every other system, every other religion is about performance. And that's the difference between true Christianity and other religions, is true Christianity is based on love and faith, not based on fear. Fear makes you like, it's just, you cringe. You always want to do, you always want to perform. I remember playing provincial tennis and just doing so well in sport and all that stuff. But the big motivation was not to actually even enjoy it. It was simply to show other people that, hey, I'm good. And then I would lift that trophy on a Monday there in the school and everybody would clap and say, oh, you're so great, you're so great. But on Tuesday, I'm depressed again because I derived so much of what I did and not who I was. And that's a challenge because our culture, remember we spoke about culture, our culture binds us in a certain way. We tell people you're going to get a reward if you come first. You know, if you play for the first team. Well, say if you have an athletics race of 8 people running against each other, you know, and maybe the one who came first in that athletics race has probably ran his personal worst time. But the one who came 7th in the race did his personal best time that he's ever run. Who's actually the winner? According to God's standard, number 7 is not number 1. Because we're not competing against other people. It's not about a success ladder. So if you then talk about your calling and your identity and all these things, and that's where we're moving on to, your identity, your authority and destiny, they are connected. The question, why am I here? Where am I going? What is my purpose? Is there significance in life? Then it's not about status or function. Because if you're a doctor, then you realize like, wow, I am a son of God before I'm a doctor. My doctor is just my vocation. It's just the ministry field. It's the area God has called me to be obedient in. He gives me authority to live there. My purpose to become like Christ, but my calling may be different. And then the guy, maybe there's a house mother and she needs to look after the kids. It feels like, but you're raising up a next generation. And so suddenly you find such purpose because it's connected to your identity. It's not connected to a lot of things that you must do. And a beautiful example we read in scripture and see in scripture is the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son ran away, just blew it. And then he came to a sound mind. He came to a place where he realized like, wow, I'm rather going to be a servant in my father's house than be here with the pigs. And then we see this beautiful picture of the father running to that son. And then he gave him what? A ring, a robe, and shoes. What does that represent? Identity, authority, the ability to go, to have a destiny. Yeah. And that's so beautiful. The thing about that story is also about the other son. There was another son that was in the house but never had the freedom to ask the father. But this son never got that ring and that robe and that stuff the first time. He just got a lot of money. And that was what he was asking for. So what are we asking for when we ask God for true sonship? We don't ask him for, Lord, make me successful so that the people can say, hey, look at what a great guy he is. Because some people say like, I'm going to be a big businessman for Jesus. You know, the whole motivation is I want to be big. Instead of I'm a son of God and it doesn't matter what seasons I go through, that may change. But that is my significance lies in knowing him and in making disciples and raising other people to be sons and daughters of God. So listen to this in John 8 verse 13 to 14. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Verse 14, Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from and where I'm going. So the Pharisees challenged Jesus and said, but you are clueless. You're just not the right person. You don't even come from the right place. You don't, you know, how can anything good come out of Nazareth, you know? It was, they tried to accuse. There was a lot of illegitimacy. There's a lot of labels on Jesus. And then Jesus makes this profound statement. He says, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. I know what my identity is and I know my destiny. And that's so beautiful because they challenge him so many times to do stuff, the devil and even the people around him. And if you're not secure in these areas in your life, then people will always tell you what you must do. People will try to live their lives and their expectations through your life. People will put their demands and control and manipulate. And we can't allow people to control us. We can't allow the fear of man to dictate or the fear of circumstances around us to dictate where we're going. Because there's one that knows where we've come from. We come from God. Hey, and we have an eternal destination. We live for eternity. And so the third thing we're focusing on is, who do we worship? You know? And this is a challenge of sonship because there's a big word, it's called idolatry. Sin, idols, culture, fears, addictions, false identities. Remember, the devil is called the father of lies. So what will lies do? Lies will also give you a certain sense of identity, a certain sense of pleasure, a certain sense of provision and security. So he's going to lie to you. But that's all a copycat because the devil cannot bring you to the original. Only God gives you the original. If you look at your thumbprint, there's no one else with 7 billion people that has the same thumbprint than you. Yeah. This is amazing. God made you uniquely. Yeah. Doesn't mean you're more special than others, but you are uniquely made in the image of God. And so you have to decide, sons worship God. It's about the glory of God. And sin needs to be repented of. You're going to be challenged to let go of a lot of idols in your life because it's about serving. Primarily, we serve. Primarily, we are not slaves, but we serve God. We serve His kingdom. We serve His ways. And listen to this in Galatians 4, verse 6 to 8. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. There's exclamation mark. We must say, Abba, Father. That's how we must actually read it, okay? So therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. But then indeed, when you did not know God. And he goes on and he talks about a lot of things. You can also go read in John 14, verse 16 to 27. We're not going to go through all of those scriptures. But the Holy Spirit bears witness. And that's why you cannot have that freedom to cry out, Abba, Father, if you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Our identity is cemented, you know. It's like the word is the bricks of the wall, but the cement in between is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit keeps these things together. Witnesses, and that's why it talks about a witness, a spiritual witness that you're a son of God. You must ask God to cement you into the bricks of the Word of God so that this wall is just like, you can't penetrate it. You can't just push it over. Why? Because the bricks, the plaster, the cement, everything just causes such a stability. And it's a beautiful picture of how God puts us together. But the Holy Spirit connects. The Holy Spirit is that gel. The Holy Spirit is the one who cries out, Abba, Father. And so one of the prayers you need to pray, and one of the prayers we're going to pray at the end of this session is simply say, Holy Spirit, give me a witness. Give me a spiritual witness that I am a son of God, because it's not about persuasion. You know, if you wake up tomorrow morning and like my surname is LaRue and I stand in front of the mirror and I try to persuade myself, I say, you are a LaRue, you know, you are, just know that you are a LaRue. And then I flex my muscles and I look at my nose, that's a LaRue nose. And I look at, you know, my facial expressions and all that stuff. And I think, yeah, I know. And when I walk outside and there's like maybe challenges, then I think like, oh, I'm not a LaRue anymore. Or I don't go to my ID every morning and look at the ID and say like, oh, okay, that maybe I'm a LaRue. No, I have a witness in my spirit that I am a LaRue. Why? Because of a relationship with a tribe called the LaRue tribe. There's a clan, there's a culture that I've grown in. And this is so beautiful about scripture, about the family of God. Yeah? Because true identity is then also confirmed by the family of God, the church of God around you. It's not just the individual thing. The Holy Spirit brings the witness, but the family affirms. The family connects. The family says, hey, we back you, we with you. And that's so beautiful about church. We also obviously are going to be very vulnerable in our relationships with other brothers and sisters, because hey, you can get hurt. You have to guard yourself against offense, against slander. There's, because it's imperfect people serving a perfect God. So you'll see here on slide number 5, there's a true identity where it's quite challenging, but where you need to learn to agree with what God says over your life. And there's such beautiful scriptures. You can take that Galatians 4 scripture and just memorize it. Say, I'm no longer a slave, but I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. And if a son of God, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Yeah, you have to cement it and even say it over and over. I remember when I just got saved and spirit-filled, I just studied 100 verses, you know, all on this, on sonship. And they still come to mind. The Holy Spirit still bears witness when I go through a tough time of who I am in Christ. Go and read Ephesians 1 to 6, those chapters on who we are in Christ, you know. But sometimes you have to make that, take that authority. And, you know, if you've made vows, because sometimes we do inner vows and we say, I will always be a failure. Maybe not even saying it, but you need to renounce those vows. Maybe you just felt it. Maybe it's just something in your head. Renounce bad inner vows. Renounce stuff you've said over yourself. You have to begin to speak and say what God says, because there's the witness of the Holy Spirit. There's the witness of the family of God, but then there's your witness. You need to speak of what God says. You need to align yourself, because John 8 says it, if we abide in the truth shall set us free. John 8 verse 31 to 32. When we abide in his word, we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. So something you can do is say these words, and it's tough, you know. I am a gift to this world. I'm a gift to this generation. I am God's best gift to live in this moment. It sounds a bit arrogant, you know, but when you know who you are in Christ, then it's truly, you know, and you are humble, then humility actually has a side of confidence in, like Moses wrote, Moses said, and Moses was the most humble man that walked on the face of the earth. Isn't that crazy? Moses said it, yeah? But so we need to impart blessing, and we need to announce. Once we've rejected the vows, the inner vows, the vows that other people have said over us, we've broken those soul ties, then we begin to say, no, this is who I am in Christ. And sometimes it will take just time to repeat it over your life, speak it over your life until the head and the heart connects, and the Holy Spirit will bring that connection, you know. They will, and that's so beautiful. And say, both me and my coming generations are blessed. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And this is where we need to make a stand of who we are in Christ. And so I remember once I went to preach, and it was probably one of the toughest things, because I didn't have confidence in who I was in Christ. And so the week leading on to this preaching moment, and it was at a congregation that I didn't know. And so the Holy Spirit said to me, when you start, tell them that you are a blessing to them. And if they receive you as a blessing, they will receive a blessing from the Lord. And I thought, like, no. This is not the way where you start a sermon, you know? Not with people that you don't know. But it was such a faith challenge, you know? But I remember just standing there and I said, look here, I'm going to be obedient. This is the most awkward thing, because I never really believed it, that God has called me to be a blessing to other people. I always had this bit of inferiority, rejection. Maybe I'm doing something for the Lord. But that day, I'll never forget it. I didn't even pray for sick people. People just got saved and healed and delivered. I was just in complete shock, but it took such a step of faith, and something happened inside when I started to confess that. And I actually said it to people. I'm not saying now go around and, you know, put on your car, I'm the best and the greatest blessing, you know. That it was a practical thing for me to do that, because something had to break in my confidence before God, because I actually said it before God, and I said it to myself more than to the people. But I just saw how the Lord just started to work with that, and people received it. And scripture says it, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you shall receive a prophet's reward. Because I had this slight doubt that maybe God, you know, isn't really going to back me up. Maybe God isn't, you know, I'm still trying to do a lot of stuff. But that's an orphan spirit. That's not the confidence we have. And let's not be arrogant, because there's a big difference between arrogance and confidence. Confidence and boldness is in God and what he said. And I'm going to end off with this story, because we were sitting at a breakfast table with one of my heroes of the faith, Reinhard Bunker. And he said the morning, he said, like, I'm God's top servant in the world. And I thought, like, oh, now I've caught him out. This is it. I'm going home. Yeah. And then he told the story of our three presidents in Africa phoned him because they had dreams to say, hey, you must invite Reinhard Bunker. He is God's top servant in the world. So he said, if God said that, why should I disagree? And this is what I want to leave us with. Don't agree with the enemy, the inner vows, the lies of the devil. Don't become an enemy of what God says in your life. Don't side with the devil to believe those lies. Don't give him that opportunity. Agree with what God says. And so our task for this week is also to write an identity statement. Maybe just one paragraph, 200 words. I am a son of God. I'm no longer a slave. Sometimes it's just to renounce the lies that you believe. I'll never make it. I'm a fear of failure. Then say the opposite. God has called me to be a blessing. God has called me to be significant. Not successful, significant for him. God has called me to minister to others. Go in the opposite and declare that over your life and see what powerful chains will break and doors will begin to open up when you start to agree with what heaven says about you and about your calling. So I want to pray for you for that, for just the boldness, for confidence. And the next week, we're going to continue on the next session on this identity in Christ. What does that mean? And how do we have confidence in that? And also in our inheritance. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the freedom we have to come to you as sons and daughters. We break every negative inner vows. We break every word people have spoken over us. And we want to thank you, Lord. We step away from the fear of man. And we say yes to what your word says about us. Lord, give us spiritual witness in our hearts and in our spirits that our yes will be yes and our no will be no. Lord, that we'll walk upright before you because our righteousness is in Jesus and the fact that you have chosen us, not that we have chosen you. We bless you in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you.